is day two of the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord in the Filmmakers Lounge, sitting with Brian Weimer.
Hello.
Now, filmmaker of documentary film.
Yeah, actually, this is going to be my 11th film
now, I guess.
It's my fifth doc, I think, and my 11th film, but that really doesn't mean much in the world of filmmaking.
You know? I beg to differ.
Well, there's, I guess maybe not in the world of film selling.
Well, okay, but no, but you can definitely call yourself a filmmaker.
Oh, yeah.
And this film, Charlottesville, Our Street, which screens Sunday at 4:30 at the Paramount, is the film, personal note here, Brian, this is the one I've been most looking forward to.
Okay.
This entire festival.
Cool.
And I know other people have been coming up and saying the same thing to me, because this is a film about our town and about what our town went through. But you tell me the genesis of this project.
I started filming largely because some other people in the film community kind of, I don't know, they encouraged me to and to capture as much as I could during the day. And I figured that might be a way that I could be useful during that day.
The day we're talking about is August 12th.
It's August 12th,
yeah.
Right. And so I brought my camera, not really knowing what was going to happen. And not really even filming during the day that I thought something more was going to make this day any more notable than some of the other protest days that we've had. But at the end of the day, with its tragic consequences, and also just in seeing how the nation responded to it afterward, we began to realize that this was a watershed moment for our town and for the nation, and we're at the center of it. And that kind of spotlight is, it's very concerning to me.
Yeah,
I mean, we've kind of focused on ourselves. I think there's a lot of interesting tensions happening in the city right now. But we realized that, okay, this was not just any day. So, you know, what happens next? And Jackson Landers, who had been writing heavily about the issues surrounding this, came to me and said, hey, I hear you make movies. Maybe you have some footage. Maybe we can pull in some other things and make it happen. Now, that being said, this was a couple weeks, actually, after the incident.
Mm-hmm.
So we were almost into September by that point. We discussed a possibility of a slot with the Virginia Film Festival, and realizing that was going to have to be done in 2 months.
Yeah.
So any filmmaker kind of knows that trying to make a feature film in 2 months is kind of stupid. but I have a propensity to do projects quickly and to try to find some efficiency in them. And so when we discussed the project, we kind of set some parameters on it. It was to say, well, let's just talk about the day itself, because what happened before it, all the issues going all the way back to the creation of the statue, the role of Virginia in the South, all of that, you know, you could do a 10-part series on all of this.
Absolutely.
And what's happening afterwards. So we stayed pretty much to the day, August 12th. We do bookend it with some of the torchlit rally, which definitely affected the next day's events. That was the torchlit rally at UVA.
Yeah. And you were there? You got footage.
Was not there for that, but we got footage from that, and we did interviews with people surrounding that event.
Okay.
And so that's also what we decided, too, was, well, whose story is this? Is this my story? Is this Jackson's story? No. This is, but for us to say, this is Charlottesville's story, we can't claim that this is, you know, that we speak for all of Charlottesville. So our sort of mission was to gather as much data as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we collected from, I think, 50 different media sources, probably, as well as we did 32 interviews with people kind of ranging the spectrum from clergy to medics to Antifa to alt-right to some of the militia. We've talked to some politicians. We've talked to just bystanders.
So I want to go back to that. In addition to people here in town who showed up to protest, who were impacted by what happened that day, you also spoke to some of the people who came to town, some of the militia, some of the alt-righters.
Well, it was very difficult. We wanted to have some some notion of balance within it. Not to, that this is actually even a balanced issue, but that we didn't want just single-sided perspective. So mm-hmm. we were wondering, well, what would somebody who is embedded, say, within the alt-right or elsewhere, what was their perspective on the day or even their experience? And so we did have to go outside. We talked to a guy in Richmond from the alt-right, and we went to Pennsylvania for two guys from the militia. Because most of the people who were part of the rally were not from here.
Right. You said something at the beginning. The film is Charlottesville, Our Streets, which screens Sunday at 4:30 at the Paramount. You said something at the beginning, and I think a lot of people have been feeling this same thing, too. This is our story, because this is our town. Mm-hmm. Your film is called Charlottesville, Our Streets.
So our streets kind of came from, I mean, there was a resounding chant within the footage that we found of whose streets are streets.
Yes.
And actually, it was interesting. There was some, at some point, the alt-right was also saying whose streets are streets, as well as you will not replace us and all this. It's a lot of a question of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are saying, whose nation is this? You know, you know, even the constitutionalists, you know, are coming here to defend this other notion of like the First and Second Amendment, which, you know, it's part of our Constitution. So our Constitution, so are we all upholding that? So there is sort of this question, and a lot of people, and I might be jumping the gun a little bit here, but the people who we interviewed all felt very compelled to be here. For really, like this, almost the same reasons and sometimes opposite reasons. Just in that, you could talk to a guy from the militia in Pennsylvania who drove 5 hours to be here, ostensibly to protect other people's rights. That they found that this is what, and some of them got kicked out of their homes, some of them lost their jobs in doing so. People from the alt-right did the same thing, came from Ohio and all sorts of other crazy places. We had people and you know, supporting the counter-protesters, either Antifa-related or otherwise, coming from North Carolina, coming from other states, D.C. And so all these people, though, everybody felt that they were on the side of the angels, because, you know, the alt-right was saying, we're here to defend against communism. You were like, what? Like, I thought this was about racism. And then you all of a sudden you go, oh, fascist, socialist. Oh, is this dynamic that we're entertaining? Or, oh, no, this is a libertarian thing against authoritarianism. Or, oh, this is, you know, racism, white and black, you know?
As well as, you know, people who were, I was going to say claiming, but perhaps even genuinely believing that they were here to defend the First Amendment, and yet they show up with guns and with violence in their hearts. And so these are the discussions that we've been having outside of this community, too, is it a First Amendment issue when someone is showing up armed and with violent intent? You know, and where is that line?
I'd say for that I don't know. And frankly, that was also our mission within the film. Not to editorialize, that we're not really casting judgment on any of this. I mean, some within the editorial process, you're going to have to choose which shot to use versus another.
Of course.
But really, our notion was to do the best to do a chronology of the day and to stay out of speculation as much as possible. So is carrying a gun part of your First Amendment rights? I don't know. I'm not the one to decide that, I can perhaps show, okay, these are the people who claim such. And it was interesting that the guys who were the militia guys carrying the guns, allegedly protecting First Amendment rights, 2 weeks later went to a Black Lives Matter rally and defended their right to speak as well. So that was part of it. Like, look, we don't, you know, we're not racist. We just go defend First Amendment issues. And those can be sometimes issues that you're in favor of and sometimes issues you're not in favor of. I think the Bundy family were part of that.
Right.
Like First Amendment, whatever, you know, okay, you know, whose property, whatever that. And you know, the guys used big guns. You know, when I arrived and I saw these guys with a big... Actually, there's a very interesting story. I'd been following some of these guys with the guns all day, thinking to myself, wow, what a bunch of jerks. You know, they're intimidating people and scaring the piss out of me. And they started to march over at the end of the day to where an area that I do some work in at the Ix Park, mm-hmm. and I was like, where the heck are these guys going? So I got in front of them, and I said, do you know where you're going? And you're about to actually to march also into a low-income neighborhood. And they stopped at that point on the corner by Friendship Court, and they got a lot of like sticks thrown at them and stuff like that, and they turned around and went back. And I was still thinking, like, who are these jerks? You know, why don't they just get in their cars and go home? And there was a woman among them who trips and smashes her face on the pavement.
Ouch.
And right in front of me.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked down, and for a moment I'm like, well, tough, you know, you're marching around with idiots, so, you know, watch your step. It turns out that she was an independent journalist. Turns out I actually used to work with her about 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
In New York.
Yeah.
At an ad agency. She's Jewish. She's a filmmaker. And she was following these guys the whole day thinking the same thing. Look at these Nazis. Look at these awful people. So here she is. She falls. She smashes her face. These militia guys circle her, start giving her medical care. When they wipe blood out of her eyes, she looks up. And she's like, oh, my God, you're the guys who I thought were being the bad guys all day.
Mm-hmm.
She has since kind of got to understand them and what their sort of mission is, which wasn't necessarily the alt-right's mission, but is this First and Second Amendment constitutionalist piece. And there was a picture of her with her head bandaged, smiling, you know, next to one of these guys. A couple weeks later, she's at a protest in New York City, and there are some Black Bloc people there, and they've got a poster of her with a Hitler mustache drawn on her.
Really?
And it says that she's a Nazi, and they were chanting her name. So it was just this crazy, like, wait a minute. She was a cameraman following these people who had this moment with them where they bandaged her up, and she realized maybe they weren't who they are, and now she's being carried around and...
Vilified. Yeah.
And it's just like... So for me, there was an element within the filmmaking to say, can we set the story straight so that these sort of tangents that can ruin people's lives and really, you know, like, take people in the wrong direction so we can agree on something. Now, again, you're always going to have this Rashomon effect. You're always going to have, like, everybody's going to witness it in a different way. So when we got it and kind of pulled all these perspectives together, at least we have a little bit better understanding of the day. And there are times when different pieces are corroborated. So at one point, one of the people who was with the clergy said she was singing songs in the street, all holding arms, and she looked over and one of the militia guys mouthed the words at her, thank you.
Mm.
And she felt for a moment, wow, okay, I'm being appreciated. There's something about these people that I'm actually reaching to. When we interviewed the militia guys, completely unprovoked, they tell the same story. They were watching. I asked, you know, was there a moment during the day that was either awful or good or whatever?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I said, oh, one really good moment was, I remember we were standing in front of the clergy who were singing, and I looked and I saw my guys sort of quietly singing along with them, and I found myself singing too. They're like, that moment maybe we can agree on.
Yeah.
Of this connection. And it's those connections, and this isn't a great feel-good movie. There's terrible things that happen in this movie.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the people within it are struggling to find resolution. And there are moments like that that they don't necessarily feel like resolution, but maybe they feel like hope.
The problem is, I mean, one of the many problems is we live in a really polarized time.
Mm.
And, you know, look, I'm an academic, I'm an intellectual, I'm a liberal. You know, I believe in nuance.
Mm?
After August 12th, nuance is hard. You know, when these guys show up and... Sure, maybe the militia in their camo and their big guns were not there for the same reason as the actual Nazis, you know, in their camo or their Dockers and their khakis. But but they kind of all had the same impact in one.
They had the same impact, but interestingly, some of them didn't have the same goals. When we interviewed this one alt-right group, I think the Traditionalist Workers Party, they were that representative. He's the quartermaster for them. He said he was kind of making fun of the Richard Spencer types.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're not like those guys in the khaki pants or the polo shirts who do this from their computer and don't actually go do the real work. And we're like, well, what is the real work? These guys wear coal miners' hats because they work in West Virginia with people who are low income. And it's like there's even an economic strata within them that separates them ideologically. These guys actually identified themselves as socialists. So then you have this whole wraparound of like, wait a minute, I thought you guys were fighting the socialists. And I'm like, no, they're fighting the other people. The other people are fighting the communists. And it's just like, what is this? Are we in Colombia? Like, where's Escobar? You know, like how many angles around this? And that was sort of where we saw all these different facets. I just got actually some footage from an alt-right source that this dude just wanted to hang at the back of the park so that nobody was throwing anything at him, and he was just waiting for the speeches. And when the speeches didn't come, they marched back to their cars and they left. Now, that wasn't all of them. There were some people definitely within the things that you see time and time again as some primary instigators. And I think that there were alt-right elements of that. There was this gigantic biker guy who was kind of commanding them the whole time. This other guy who was always waving this flag. The guy must have been on something because...
I've seen that footage. Yeah, some of that footage,
But then there were some people, I think, who were either Black Bloc or Antifa who were definitely some of the more vocal ones. And so there were strata within them. I mean, the other people who were more active, people within the clergy, who some people who decided to stay way back on the sides. So within this whole strata, what is the common story? One thing that, too, that the reason for doing it, early on there were some crazy rumors about stuff that was just like, I knew were patently false. There was a woman who gave some radio testimony that like people were attacking people in restaurants on the downtown mall or something like that, and that they were all filing out of three buses that were both KKK and Black Lives Matter people.
Right,
and it began this whole story about, oh, George Soros is funding this.
Right.
And I did the research and I found out that it's not possible that they could have been at any of these restaurants because those restaurants were closed or whatever. And it's like, wow. So, but all of a sudden, that had been shared a million times, and it was a talking point on conservative radio that three buses had unloaded people of, you know, who were all actors. And it's like, well, can we just, like, all talk about reality for a moment and really see what this day was? Some people thought that those militia members going into Friendship Court were intent on invading that place with guns. Now, I don't know what their real intention was, but they didn't end up doing that. They got to the corner and said, why the heck are we... Let's go back. And you could say because they were repulsed by a couple teenagers throwing rocks, but most of the people that we talked to, and even this is not our opinion, like we're saying, no, those guys were lost.
Yeah.
So, okay, were they invading neighborhoods? There was a huge thing about, and there were alt-right people. I did see a couple guys in a pickup truck driving around giving Nazi salutes, shouting and stuff like that. But there were other incidents of, there's a group when they were walking back from the place to get back to McIntyre Park that we have on camera, and they got completely lost in the neighborhoods sort of over behind the library. And, you know, we've got like them on film going, who's got the GPS? And it's just like, so why are these bands like roving through the neighborhoods? Well, some of them were lost.
Yeah.
Some of them were probably intentionally bringing malice. And that was the important thing about the torchlit rally, including that in the other part, was that, okay, well, violence ensued there. And that set the tone for the rest of the day. I don't know why the dude drove his car through it, but we have through the protesters. But we do have footage of him driving down Water Street 7 minutes beforehand. So it gives a little bit of a notion of this person's knowledge of what was happening during that time. But we don't, you know, there'll still be more. I think we have some Freedom of Information Act pieces in, and we haven't gotten that information back. But this is a growing story. We have right now what we could amass in 2 months' time. And actually, a guy from the Washington Post watched it, and he was actually here during that day, and he was like, you guys nailed it, and then some. So we have some confirmation that what we've done in this short amount of time is compelling, is meaningful, and hopefully good fruit for conversation.
So the film, Charlottesville, Our Streets, once again screens 4:30 at Sunday at the Paramount. Are we going to see a version of this film? Or are you going to continue working on it
the screening? I'm sure that after the screening, there will be some more footage. And every time we get footage, a new little piece of this comes out. Like, oh my gosh, did you just see what happened over there? I mean, there were elements we didn't even know about the gunshot until weeks afterward and how that happened. And now I've gotten footage from all sorts of different sides of that gunshot. So there are different elements that keep on getting. I don't want to pursue this for the rest of my life. I imagine doing some happier movies and sitting with, you know, more enjoyable content in the edit room. So But I think that this project will continue to progress. Right now we're filming it as a work in progress, but it is a finished entity and sure. very consumable in its current status. But definitely we'll keep on entertaining the notion of pulling in more perspectives. There are a couple other interviews I want to do too. I would love to get one of those Richard Spencer khaki pant dudes and just say, what the heck? And, you know, you ask them. I asked the alt-right guys, like, point blank, what do you think of, you know, the notion that people think you're genocidal maniacs? Mm-hmm. Because people do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what is their answer? And their answer was, well, you know, that was based on this 1950s notion of, like, what a neo-Nazi was, and we're not about gassing people anymore or whatever. It's like, okay, well, you can say that. I don't know if that's so. I don't know if what you know, but people don't have control of all their members, so they go and say crazy things. And in the process of it, I've talked with some people that have ideologies that I can't even fathom. They are so repugnant to me as an individual. But there's still a level of like, okay, how do we live with this person? Because that person will be there. It's hard to kill an idea.
One last question. Charlottesville, our town has now become hashtag Charlottesville.
Uh-huh.
See it referred to all the time, you know, in late night talk shows.
Right.
When you go places, I say, right. Oh, I'm from Charlottesville. And you can kind of see by the look on people's faces, like, oh, it means something to people outside of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the same thing it means to us here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you explored showing this film beyond the Virginia Film Festival?
Yes.
Outside of Charlottesville.
I mean, ideally, this is a film that should be universal to most audiences. I think a lot of people around the country sort of experience this in an extended way. There are people around the world who've actually, we've just been, I think, invited to Germany to go show this.
Oh, wow.
Some people who deal with neo-Nazis there. And so I think that it is a weird moment. You get on a plane now and, you know, you say you're from Charlottesville and all of a sudden, here we go.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to the time that we're not characterized by this.
I was at a, of all things, a Star Trek conference up in upstate New York earlier this summer. Mentioned that I was from Charlottesville.
Mm.
And I had people coming up and sort of telling me their version of what they thought happened.
Right.
I hate that. Don't tell me what you think happened.
Right.
Okay? That was
right.
there.
Right.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for your time.
Cool.
The film, once again, Charlottesville, Our Street, screens Sunday at 4:30 at the Paramount Theater. Come see it. Get in line because it's sold out, but come see it anyway. And look forward to play elsewhere.
Excellent.
And hope to see you back here again.
Well, why not? Film a year. Sounds like a good record.
All right. Thanks, Brian.